This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Sammy, today, for Lifting the Lid, a little bit of a treat. Joined by Carolyn Riches. Now, she's a freelance travel writer, and she's going to share a little bit on what it's like to be that. She joins us right now on the phone. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Now, Carolyn, could you tell us a little about what a day in the life of a freelance writer is like?
Yeah, it's pretty varied, but I have to say often it's quite lonely and boring when you're at home. A lot of freelance writers work from home, so they're often just at home writing, which can be quite a lonely solo work. But it can be very adventurous when you're traveling, when you're out meeting people and interviewing people, but you can be often at home on your own for a long day as well.
So we're saying like 50% in your pajamas at home and then 50% in your khaki pants out traveling?
I'd say at least 50% in your PJs at home. Yeah.
Great.
It depends on how many trips you're on. It depends. A lot of travel writers actually do other writing as well. So they might try and diversify into health writing or feature writing for lifestyle magazines or something like that. So it really depends on what they're, you know, if they're writing for lots of other genres as well, then they might not be traveling so much. But there are some people who do full-time travel writing. You have to be very established and have lots of contacts and a very steady stream of work. And they might be traveling up to, oh, I've met some that travel 60-70% of the time. Yeah, but that's unusual. I'd say most of us are probably at home at least 50% of the time. Yeah.
So what are the kind of exciting places that you've got to visit?
Probably my favourite place that I went to was Antarctica, which was about 3 years ago on a two-week expedition from Argentina. That was really special.
That would have been incredible. What kind of things do you get to see in Antarctica?
Well, you're based on the ship, so you sleep on the ship, and you do landings twice a day. So you'd go, you know, you'd land in the morning, and then you'd come back on ship for lunch, and then you'd land again in the afternoon. It really depends. So you can do lots of trekking around. You can visit penguin colonies. You can visit some research stations, which was really cool because you get to talk to the people who live there. We went to one Argentinian station called Esperanza, where there was lots of children living there. It's one of the only research stations in Antarctica where they have children there and going to school. That was pretty interesting because children really live through the same thing there as they would be doing anywhere else. I mean, they go to school, they go home, they cook dinner with their parents, they play video games with their friends back in Argentina, and it was really, really interesting to go and visit them there. Yeah, the only main difference is they don't have any fresh food or vegetables. You know, there's no food growing there. So everything they eat is sort of frozen, packaged stuff, you know. So that's the thing that would be the hardest. Yeah.
Carolyn, I imagine going to somewhere like Antarctica and trying to write about it or describe it. Do you run out of words? I mean, there's ice and cold and there's only so many synonyms you can come up with, right?
No. Oh, God, it's a writer's dream. There's so much to talk about. I wrote, I think, 4 or 5 stories from that trip. It was a dream destination for a writer, not only in how it looks, because you're right. It can be quite monochrome when there's a very fierce weather front blowing through. You know, the sea can be quite dark grey and the sky can be quite fierce, but sometimes it's really serene and a bright blue sky and very calm, and it can change very, very quickly. It's very loud, Antarctica. It's got, and a lot of people don't realize that, but it's, the ice is constantly bubbling and popping. And when there's a big chunk of ice that falls off an ice shelf, it is a deafening roar. Mm. So, and there's also the people there that live there and the animals, the wildlife. So there's a lot to write about. And it's also the feeling of being there. It's a very different place because not only is it just so deafeningly loud at times, and I think particularly with all the concern about climate change, they say that you really notice the effects of climate change more at the polar ends of the Earth. And I think that's true because when you're there in Antarctica and you're hearing the roar of ice breaking off the shelf, falling into the ocean, essentially going to melt, and that's what's going to make the sea levels rise. I wrote a story which talked a lot about the noise there, and I said in it, I wish the rest of the world could hear it because that is when you think, what are we doing, you know? Another thing which I loved about Antarctica was the way that you're sort of out of reach from the rest of the world. So you can get Wi-Fi on the ship, but it's very patchy and very expensive, so people tend not to bother. So when you come back in from your landing at the end of the day, people just sit in the bar, have a drink, and they talk, and they're very present. It reminded me of traveling you know, backpacking around Europe 20, 25 years ago, when I just would, you know, you'd sit in the hostel bars and you'd just chat and make new friends, and you wouldn't even think of contacting home because you couldn't. And it was a very much an old style of travel where you're completely out of touch from the rest of the world. So I loved it. Yeah, it's an amazing place to be. Quite prohibitively expensive to travel there, but if you're able to do it, it's incredible.
Caroline, but you're a mum. You're in a place like that. Surely you can still hear the kiddos screaming out, "Mom, Mom, where are you?" Even in Antarctica, right?
Oh no! I surprisingly find it quite easy to switch off. I don't know if that's bad. I miss I miss my kids terribly, and I love coming home to them. But it's also amazing to have the chance to get away and get into my work, and yeah, I know they're well taken care of back home.
When you're writing about a location, what exactly are you looking for? Is it just walking through with your eyes open and trying to meet people? What are the things that a writer needs to take in if they're writing about travel?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think the best writers, and not just travel, but well, not particularly, but writers in general, I think the best ones are they're observers, you know. They're good listeners. They're good. They're people that are good at sitting back and taking in the details. So they're not necessarily the life and the soul of the party, because those people tend not to listen and observe as much, if that makes sense. So I think it's really taking the time to absorb the place around you. It doesn't mean you have to have the confidence to go up to people and talk to locals about living there, and that's how you get great quotes and great anecdotes about a place. It's really about, I mean, part of travel writing is talking about what people can do there. You know, if you go there, this is what you can do there. But that's not enough. It's got to be capturing the essence of a place as well. And that's through the people, it's through the culture, it's through the landscape, it's through the energy. And it's really taking the time to try and absorb all of that and then try and interpret it into words so you can actually capture the essence of place. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm traveling for work is to try and take, like, you know, half an hour at the end of the afternoon before dinner, where, you know, often I grab a drink in a bar and I just sit down with my iPad and I just tap away some thoughts. And it's just a time to reflect on what I've seen, who I've spoken to, what my thoughts on it all are, and just to reflect on it all. Then when I come home and write the story, I've got all these notes which I can draw on. So, it's taking that time to think about the place, I think.
Okay. I'm going to give you a country you've visited, and you've got to give me a one-sentence summary using your fancy descriptive words.
Okay. All right. Oh, I don't know. I'm not very fluffy with my words.
You were before, popping and bubbling was one that
okay.
Oh, monochrome.
Monochrome. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, ready? Tahiti.
Tahiti. Oh, okay. This is like France on tropical steroids. It's France with much more passion, with coconut milk, with good fish, and with the scent of the flowers, what they call the tari flowers, blowing through. It's a whole mixture of the Pacific paradise with the clockwork.
There's a lot of commas in there right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not for radio. I haven't got a great voice. I'm not a good talker. I'm better when I'm sitting down when I can think and put it into words in my own time.
Vietnam.
Vietnam. One sentence. God, it's so alive and it's so innovative and progressive right now. They've really come out of a tough few decades to really be passionate about their food, about with their art, and it's a country moving forward. Really exciting place to travel to right now.
You said that was really good. All right, keep it going. Maldives.
The Maldives. The Maldives is a wonderful place to go and flop and drop. It is beautiful. It's paradise. It's not really a place where you get to delve into the culture, I would say, because all the resort islands are very separate from where all the locals live. So it's almost like quite a manufactured holiday destination. It's a beautiful but quite a strange place, I would say.
South America.
Oh, South America. Wow, that's a big place.
highlights. How about this? Highlights in South America.
I can tell you about the southernmost city, which is where you get the ships to Antarctica from, which is called, oh my goodness, Okay, let's move on. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think what it is. I've been to the Andes. That's pretty cool. Really amazing people that live up in the mountains with the women with their long plaits and their colourful skirts, cooking up all this amazing food. And the Amazon. Wow, that's pretty cool too. But a pretty worrying place as well right now with all the fires.
Yeah. I think you've forgotten something about the Andes that I'm a bit disappointed. There's 1,500 different types of potato there, which means that it's got to be like a French fry paradise.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. I had more rice than potatoes, I think, when I was there.
All right. Okay.
But that's awesome.
Carolyn, before we let you go, it'd be great to get some tips. If there's someone listening right now who aspires to be a writer, perhaps even a travel writer, how do they go about it? What's the best way to start?
I think the best way to start is really just to come up with some good ideas. It's a very competitive industry, but that's not to say it's not possible to get into it without a lot of experience, because it is. I don't think it's enough to really say, I've been here and this is what you can do there, because really anybody can do that. It's got to be something that's a little bit different, something really quite interesting and personal that you've experienced that you think other people would want to hear about. And the best way to do it is to pitch to editors. Well, there might be a travel editor, like editor of a travel supplement on a newspaper. It might be an editor of a travel magazine, or it might be a commissioning editor on a website that covers travel. So you just send an email with your idea to that person and then perhaps chase it up a few days later. It's not easy when you're not known to get published straight away, but it can happen. And it comes down to the quality of your ideas and then the quality of your writing, and often the quality of your photography, if you can follow good pictures with your story as well, even though it's not always essential. You can get professional shots to go with your story. But it's as easy as that, really. And then the more you do it and the more relationships you establish with editors, the easier it becomes.
That's good. Okay.
But it's not necessarily an industry where you can make a lot of money. I think people do it for the love rather than the cash. And diversifying is pretty key as well. Try and write some other stuff as well as travel. Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm packing my bag to go traveling. I've got my undies in there. I've got my passport in there. Got my wallet in there. What's the other traveling essentials I need to throw in?
Oh, God. I'm the worst person to ask for travel tips. I still don't think I travel very well.
You've done it a lot.
I know. But I pack at the last minute. I don't travel as light as I should. I just can't really offer you travel tips. I just think that traveling light as you can is the way to go. Always have a notebook. I've got my iPad with a little keyboard. They're the things that I just need with me. I just need to have a notebook and a way to make notes and write my thoughts down wherever I am. So I always have that in my little backpack that I carry with me all day. And I can, when I've got some minutes, I can sit and write some thoughts down. Because if you think about it later on, you've often forgotten the details. So that's the only tip I can really offer, I think.
And if we want to follow you on your journey, where can we go?
Oh, look, I mean, I'm on Instagram. My handle is Caroline_Riches. But, I mean, Instagram isn't really key to what I do. I mean, it's a really interesting thing. I mean, travel influencers are so often on Instagram now, and there's a real blurred line between travel writers and travel influencers online. And I think most travel writers do have their presence on Instagram, and it's a part of what we do, but it's not the key to, you know, it's not the most important part of what we do. But it's all mixed together now. I do post things on there, but I also publish my work on the AAP Travel Wire or the AAP Wire, but also in various magazines. Yeah.
Caroline, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.